Welcome back. This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program this hour of the show, brought to you by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. And this segment of the program brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community designed specifically for individuals with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Phone number 224-9111. It is time now for our weekly conversation with the Granite Geek. In this week's column in the Concord Monitor, he wrote about fake meat. How are you?
I am fine. Well-fed as well.
Did you sample?
Of course I sampled.
How was
It was good. It was quite good, as a matter of fact. I was surprised. I thought I would be able to suss it out better than I did. So
take us through what the concept
sure.
is here. I mean, we've heard about if you go to the supermarket and you're going to grill and you're told you're going to be, you know, by your spouse that you're going to be cooking burgers, you have a number of different options for what you can. You can do veggie burgers. You can do turkey burgers. You can do all sorts of different things. So what is the difference between the fake meat and, say, a veggie burger?
Okay. You're absolutely correct. Veggie burgers, of course, you know, they're not so hot, and veggie hot dogs are really horrible. So there's been attempts to make, you know, to make a vegetarian or a non-meat equivalent of meat for a long time, and they haven't been very successful.
It's kind of like the non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, let's not go there.
Yeah.
So what is different in the last couple of years is new levels of technology have been placed on it, and the driving force is mostly environmental, to be honest, because there's a larger market for non-meat foods because of people who are concerned about the environmental impact of basically raising beef in particular, beef and pigs to a certain extent, red meat. So there are various tech startups that are tackling it. So what I did was I tried what's known as the Incredible Burger. So the Incredible Burger you might have actually heard of because it is...
It's incredible.
It's incredible. Right. It is an interesting technology, and it's Burger King is about to come out with it. Burger King is going to start selling Incredible Burger burgers, and these are made. They're made by a California-based tech firm, and various plant things they use. You know, coconut oil and various plant-based proteins, and in particular, they've created something. It's called heme, which is a portion of meat. It's like a hemoglobin that you know it. It's the iron containing portion of the blood. It's a big component of the taste of meat. They say they've been able to duplicate heme with plant-based. So they've made these burgers that look and taste pretty much like meat. And so they're starting to be sold around. So I was intrigued because Burger King was bringing them. They haven't come yet. And then I looked on their website and found that there's actually some restaurants in New Hampshire already that sell it, including the Red Robin chain sells it. But there was an independent restaurant near my house called 603 Grill. And so I went down and with some friends, and I tried an Incredible Burger and a regular burger side by side and did a blind taste test.
Who won?
Well, I was fooled. So we cut them up in 6 pieces and closed my eyes and ate 3 of each. And I didn't know what order it was, and I was fooled half the time. Half the time, I thought the Incredible Burger was real meat or the other way around. However, it must be noted that, as my wife will tell you, I have a very not a very good palate. I don't really determine food well. She tried it, and she was not fooled at all. She knew instantly which ones were the non-meat and which ones are the meat. And I had some friends with me who ate it. They didn't do the blind testing. They just tried it, and they could also they thought it was noticeably different from a regular patty. However, they all liked it, and my wife also liked it as well.
Right. So I don't think you should compare it. I think that you should have it. I think you should just have it and determine whether you like it or not. Because if you just have it, you will like it. If you compare it to something else, you're not going to like it as much.
Right.
Perhaps.
It doesn't have the fat. Frankly, that's what it's missing is some of the meat fat flavor. You're right, but it was quite tasty. It was also $2 more, so it's more expensive at the moment, and I'm certain it'll be more at Burger King as well. So right now it's sort of a niche luxury product, kind of, you know, a cool thing to eat. The question is whether it can grow enough and become accepted enough to start replacing some of the meat products.
So we're going to go on a dangerous path here. You ready?
Okay.
And here it is. So what's in, like, the McDonald's and Burger King burgers currently? Because I did a anecdotal survey, and if we were going to feed ourselves, you know, just on 100% cattle burgers. I don't think we have enough cattle. I don't know if there's enough cattle for all that, for just every burger that's consumed on a yearly basis. So I assume that there's some, that there's only a certain percentage of the burger which is actually burger at this point.
I'm certain there's some filler in it. I mean, to hold it together, if nothing else. I mean, if you've ever made hamburgers, you know that when you make your patty, it'll fall apart unless you add a little something else in it. I can't say I know for certain, but I would doubt it. I would suspect these are very, very largely made of chopped up cows, ground up cows. The drawback to the industrial bovine industry that these guys have is that any given patty you're eating might have bits of it of 50 cows in it, because it's not like they take a single cow and they cut up, slab of meat, and turn it into a patty. It's these things are just churned up, and the different cuts are put together. And that's one of the issues when you have a E. coli outbreak or something in patties, is that it's very hard to trace it back to where it comes from, because they get mixed and matched together. But I think it's all meat. It's crummy meat. I mean, it's the bottom of the meat chain if it slammed together into these patties, because they can get away with it.
Right.
But no, I think it's meat.
So you think it's meat? I don't know. I can't vouch for it, but all I know is there's a lot of people in this country. There's a lot of burgers.
There's a lot of cows. There's a lot of cows being raised. If you go to industrial cow lots in the Midwest, Upper Midwest, there's a whole lot of cows. I don't think that's a problem. Now, the problem that's happening is the rest of the world. You know, all the Chinese and Indians are getting rich. No, they want to eat meat too, because we've been doing it. And whether there's enough cows, or the environmental damage that would be done in creating enough cows to meet their need, that's one of the concerns, and that's one of the pushes for the fake meat industry.
So if you're selling a I don't know, I mean, I it's all speculatory at this point. I think I've gone far enough here. But I don't know. I'm still not sold on this.
Well, I mean, so if you're not sold on that, what do you think about lab-grown meat, which is the other and, frankly, the more scientifically interesting way to replace meat? Is there are several companies, actually, that are working right now on developing lab-grown or cultured meat, which is you take a cell from a cow, a stem cell, one of the ones that can be sort of divided up into turn it into anything, and you grow it in the lab in such a way, you make it duplicate, and you make it separate in ways that it creates actual meat, and you end up with a piece of meat that has not come from a living cow. It's been generated from the cell of a cow. Is that meat? Is it not? And I think we're getting pretty close to those being commercially available in some form. And in fact, there's already legal fights as to whether you can define them as meat, because the cattle industry doesn't want them defined as meat. So what would you think about that? If you ate a piece of meat that came entirely from the cells of a cow, but yet was never part of an actual cow, is that meat? Is it non-meat? Is it what is it?
Well, we've just disclosed that I have no idea where my burger comes from, so it could be coming from there already.
So you wouldn't mind at all. You'd chow down on that, no problem. So as long as it tastes good,
right? I mean, so here's the thing: we all place a trust in our corporations and our local farmers and in our restaurants and in our government that what we are eating is safe, because we have, you know, really, even if we are, unless we are growing it and shooting it and ourselves, we have no idea.
You have no idea. That's true.
And even, I mean, you go to the local farmer's market, everybody feels good about that, and you purchase your local food. There's Tim from Tim's farm, and Tim's a good guy, and he farms the right way because Tim says he does. I mean, there is a trust that exists, and we want, you know, as little government intervention as possible, but we also know nothing about where the food comes from.
I have to disagree. When it comes to the food safety, I want lots of government intervention.
I mean, in a state like New Hampshire, I would say that we as a whole want as little government intervention as possible, but this until this type of a moment. I mean, that's basically how this all works.
Yes.
I mean, you you don't want government around until you need them. Like you may not be enamored with your police department until someone breaks into your house. I mean, it's that type of mentality.
You don't like those, you know, job-killing regulations until suddenly all your romaine lettuce is poisoning you, and then suddenly you think deregulations is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Why do we not have? Why are people not checking this? Who's supposed to be in charge?
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, those are the people that you said you don't.
Oh, those are bureaucrats.
You don't want the bureaucrats. But I also wonder how much regulation actually does exist in regards to this. I mean, you can't check every single hamburger that somebody puts out. There is a corporate trust that exists, and you know, it's interesting again the relationship that we have with government and with corporations. And for whatever reason, we seem to be more trustful of the corporations, and private enterprise has been able to amass a significant amount of data farming to gain information. Food that we eat, we assume, is on the up and up. So what does the infrastructure look like right now in terms of food regulation and agriculture?
To my knowledge, that's an area that a lot of the government cutback has not hit as much as it has in other areas. So the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, the state has a number of people who do spot checks of food, spot checks of markets, spot checks of producers. And the key thing is that we have to have, you know, serious penalties if they fail, because it's, you know, fear of financial penalty is what drives industry, what drives you and me as well. And so as long as that's in place, but you're right, here in New Hampshire, we don't like that. We don't like the idea of some snooty government guy coming in and then maybe, you know, bankrupting my business because I did something wrong.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about food safety, I think that's perfectly reasonable. And you are absolutely correct. That is one of the questions that is being raised over, not so much over the Incredible Burger, because it's made out of existing plant materials in various ways and fairly straightforward, but the cultured meat industry, the lab grown meat industry, clean meat they like to call it. That's what they're trying to call it, because you know it hasn't been raised in any cows that poop and do stuff like that. But there's big questions about how you determine what the safety chain is for that entirely new technology, a kind of food that's never existed before. So that will be, frankly, one of the things that will hold the industry back. But, you know, when you're talking about food safety, it should hold the industry back. So
that is the Granite Geek, David Brooks, joining us here on the Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show is presented by New England College as well as the Prescription Center. And this segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord. So what does this mean in your view in regards to more foods of this nature, the genetically created? We've talked a lot about genetically GMOs and farmers pushing back on that and such. But this is genetically created. And I think that, you know, there has to be a balance between the demand and also kind of what's best for our economy.
I think that it shows great promise to create meat-like meat of various kinds. I mean, I don't know whether you're ever going to see bacon. I think bacon will be like, you know, the ultimate goal for these that maybe never quite gets worked. But I think that in the next 10 years, a significant portion of what is currently sold as meat is going to be, you know, non-meat, either plant-based alternatives or lab-grown meat. Whether that will replace any existing meat producers or just sort of expand the market for meat, that's a question. Certainly overseas, I think it'll just expand the market for meat. But there are legitimate reasons to do this. I mean, meat is awesome stuff. I like to eat it, and you like to eat it. But it's, you know, expensive. It's eaten in excess. It's not that good for us, and it really does a number on the entire planet. So finding an alternative that still satisfied us, that was, you know, not less fun to eat, that would be a good thing.
One of the major challenges that exists for individuals who have low to middle income who want to be healthy is that it is cost prohibitive. And it is much cheaper to
eat crud instead of good. The
food comes through your, if you get the food coming through the drive-through window, it's generally less expensive than
yep.
you're going
the
to
the cost
co-op.
Per calorie is lower. It's we've got it entirely backwards. And guess what? You know, we're all getting fat and unhealthy. What a surprise.
And in a lot of times as well, they, you know, the creative element of this is funded by grants and the government and so forth. And there's a focus on wellness. But, you know, we as a, you know, as a society, I think, need to do a better job of figuring out how to bring down the costs of these products. And everything has, you know, has kind of changed and altered through the generations, where it used to be that, you know, the wealthy would have habits that would, you know, create poor health, whether it's smoking cigars and such, and the amount of sugars and desserts and such, and that would be a driving force behind poor health. But now it's shifted, and yep. that the products that the Coca-Colas, the sodas, the hamburgers and
yep,
such
yep. Chips and yeah absolutely.
Right are
yeah.
much less money, and so those who are poorer have worse health habits.
So you're saying, you know, eating well is becoming a luxury good.
Exactly,
and to a certain extent you're correct, and this is not going to change that, at least in the short term. All these meat replacements are going to be expensive, at least as expensive as meat.
And like, you look at the choices that you have, and if you have a limited budget, you can choose the salad or you can choose the non-healthy options, which are less expensive than the salad.
And also they last longer. And mm-hmm. actually, I think that's a big problem. If you're a poor family and you got to go out and you got to feed your kids,
or if you're going to a soup kitchen, or if you're going to a food pantry.
Okay, well. Well, there you don't have the issue. I'm thinking more of people buying food for their house.
Yep.
If you buy a non-processed food, there's a chance it'll go bad, or it might even be bad. You might buy the broccoli and part of it isn't mm-hmm. that great. If you buy processed food, you know what you get. I mean, what you get is junk, but doggone it, you know what you get, and it's going to be the same a week from now, so you don't have to worry about spoilage. So you could definitely you have a guaranteed food, you have a guaranteed source of calories, and I really think that is the main selling point. I mean, that's why you know vending machines sell chips and they don't sell broccoli, because the broccoli will go bad, but the chips can sit there for 2 weeks until they're sold. So that's frankly, I think, the biggest obstacle toward healthy food. I don't know that, you know, alternative meats, and I assume alternative meats are no better than regular meat in that case. I don't think they, you know, you can leave them out on the shelf for a week and then eat them and they're fine. So that's not going to solve that problem. So.
Dr. Geek talking alternative meats here on the Hampshire Now program.
Oddly enough, I've become quite hungry doing this conversation.
I have quite the opposite. David Brooks here on Hampshire Now on 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program is presented by New England College, as well as the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord.